Yeah. Yo. Where's my time, man? I write this all down here so we can all look back. History inscribed here is my life soundtrack. I hope I bounce back. Daredevil need for speed, deadly deeply bleeds over my mind. Heard enemy frequencies, mainstream hit, travel the main vein. Flashbacks trigger the brain, regressing. I'm trying to maintain. There's a lot held and fate remain. Focus on the pain and accept the pouring rain. Blood spray stains and sealing the pillage. It kills the killing. Weight of the world, your shoulders shearing. Vile bearers ready, the casket sealing. Traps are hot, rewind its villain. Fears fast lane, hit the shoulder and killing. I can't see straight. I've been immersed in the still and immersed with the eyes of a billion souls. Contribute the same dealings. I'm out there with you, spirits interlocked and streaming. We have not met, but we share the same ideas, this the same is feelings. My last stand, last dance with death. The last laugh, the last of the sand has left my fingers and hands. The dreams enhanced, writing songs with freed hands. Applause clap, wings flap. This is my last chance to live for today. No plans to turn back. Take a breath, life moves way too fast. Not all those who wander are lost, no math for that. Just love drawn in pencils and crayons. Fly away to never, never land, or never say you can't. It's alright if my message isn't for everyone. Targeting anyone experiencing oblivion. Regardless of the fact that I'm godless to the max, I still search for every last soul on the beacon path. The ones cracked, distracted, ones acted when their lives are impacted and society subtracted. A lack of respect, taking effect. Pick up your head, gotta straighten your neck. You're still in the race, get up and win. If you're down and out, get up and in and hey. Alright, it'll be okay. Alright, everybody is struggling. Whether hopping, popping up, guns are let trouble is encompassing. We'll make it out one day. So love yourself, protect your health, build your life and stack your wealth and make it out. Love yourself, protect your health, build your life, stack your wealth and make it out. This is my last stand, last dance with death. The last laugh, the last of the sand has left my fingers and hands. The dreams enhanced, writing songs with freed hands. Applause clap, wings flap. This is my last chance to live for today. No plans to turn back. Take a breath, life moves way too fast. Not all those who wander are lost, no math for that. Just love drawn in pencils and crayons. Fly away to never, never land, or never say you can't. As I'm sleeping, REM takes over live streaming. Wishing there were better times, it seems. Let the bad times diminish. I'm dreaming, thinking different, feeling that we make a difference. We cross paths, revealing glimpses of the hope. It's a ceiling, so lovely, so appealing. No regrets, and then you wake up drenched, cold sweats. Tops and Duffy know the rest, confused to rest. Walking around for days, depressed. Today I clean up this mess. Through behind, but I left, but I never really left. Still there, over there, borderline, near the trench, near the fence. In the homeless man, sleeping on the bench. Once in a while, walking from the fence, on bad winds. Life is hit and miss, sometimes I miss the bad times. It's a trip, fast times, taking risks. No existence, reminiscing. Found a smile with less resistance. A spiritual being, having the human experience. This is my last stand, last dance with death. The last laugh, the last of the sand has left my fingers and hands. The dreams enhanced, writing songs with freed hands. Applause clap, wings flap. This is my last chance to live for today. No plans to turn back. Take a breath, life moves way too fast. Not all those who wander are lost, no math for that. Just love drawn in pencils and crayons. Fly away to never, never land, or never say you can't.
Welcome to On The Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. The song you just heard was called Last Stand from today's guest, Clausen, also featuring another local hip-hop artist, Atheist. I've got to know Clausen over the last about 2 years here. Some of you may know Clausen under the name also of Casey Clausen. Casey's just a phenomenal artist. He's got a new album coming out this week called Old Soul, an awesome CD release show at Five Monkeys here in Salt Lake City. I'm really excited to have Casey on the show and kind of get to know more about him as an artist. Some of you may have also seen Casey when he was a guest on our web show, The Job Interview, last year. Casey managed to come in and he played the role of Pizza Pat. An awkward pizza delivery guy that delivered a pizza in the while I was in the bathtub. So it was a lot of fun. It was great to have Casey on the show today. Kind of talked to him about some of his past, you know, where he first started writing rap, learned a little bit about his past in rehab and overcoming addiction, and the message that he wants to share with his music, so it was great to talk with Casey. It's been a little while since we put up an episode. I think the last episode we had up was the Oscar episode, so I apologize for the delay. It's been about a month. We've been working on an amazing documentary right now. The title of it we can finally release is called Sean Wickard, Cursed and Cured. It's going to be an incredible documentary about a guy that that we met here in Salt Lake, that we were approached with his story, and we're making a documentary on it. Sean had been paralyzed for 17 years and is now walking again, and it's an absolutely incredible story that we really just cannot wait for everybody to see later this fall. There's a lot going on here on the mic. We have a bunch of new episodes already recorded that are going to be hitting. We're finally on a schedule now where we can get you guys new episodes looking at every Monday from now on. So this week, of course, yeah, it's not Monday. Get over it. It's okay. But you're going to have new episodes every Monday. This next week, we'll have Jacob Lee on the show. Following that, Christopher James. We have Marcus from Last Comic Standing coming up. Christian Piper. A lot of great ones still to come. So stay tuned for those. I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. So make sure you guys get out there. Check out Casey's album. It's absolutely incredible. I'm not the biggest rap fan. I mean, I enjoy it. I've always, enjoyed rap music, but I don't deem myself, a rap expert or anything. It's not my go-to, but I've absolutely loved this album. Maybe it's biased. Maybe it's because I've been friends with Casey for a few years now, and so I'm biased on what I like on the album. But overall, it's a great album. I think everybody's going to enjoy it, whether rap's your main go-to or not. So make sure you check out Old Soul. It's not quite up on iTunes yet, but we're going to help Casey make that happen so that everybody can be able to pick that up. And if you're in Salt Lake City, get out to a show at Five Monkeys this week. Stay tuned to onthemicpodcast.com. If you're not following us on Twitter, it's at onthemicpodcast. You can follow me also, at Tim Drake. So I'm always keeping you guys updated on there on what's going on with our films, with the podcast. You're going to want to stay in touch. Hope you guys enjoy this episode with Clausen.
I've had kind of a cold, been kind of worried about this thing, but I think I'm getting a little bit better.
Yeah, cold. I mean, there have been DJs on radio here in Utah that sounded like they had a cold their entire career, so.
That's true.
And Artie Fufkin at X96.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, his entire time.
People. What's he sound like again?
Like he has a cold. Just like a dude with a cold. Think of the exact idea of a guy with a cold. That was Artie Fufkin.
I know I've heard him before.
I don't think he's been on the air. I don't think for 8 years, maybe? 9 years?
I don't know. I'd always listen to X96 when I was a kid, man. Like, a long time ago. Yeah.
He was the night guy. During those times, if I remember right. It might have been midday.
You're probably right.
I don't completely remember. So, because I was a kid during those times, so it's just like, I remember the names and I'd hear them on the radio, but it was irrelevant to me what time, what shift they were working.
Right.
So, well, with the album coming out, you've been establishing a fan base. I know more and more as people hear your stuff.
Shit, they, not really.
You are. I mean... I know when you're starting out and you're still trying to get it going, it feels like nobody's listening. You're performing to an empty wall. I mean, shit, I see the downloads for this show, and I still am convinced, even seeing that people are listening, that I am just talking to an empty wall at all times.
I'm sure it feels like that.
So, yeah, it feels like that because, I mean, you record an intro at 5 in the morning like I do a lot of the time so I can get an episode up on time. And yeah, I'm talking into sound foam. And that's who I think is listening. But no, you're establishing a fan base. It's cool. I mean, I know a Tyler approached you the other day and said that he'd come across, some of your videos and he had never heard your music and was just like, shit, like it's really good.
Yeah, man. No, it gets out there, dude. I network more and more with people and, yeah, man, I've got a couple big shows coming up here. I'm pretty excited.
So, and I mean, on this album as it is, I mean, you had three featured?
Four.
So I saw Poet. Was it Dope?
Poet, Dope Effects, Wise, YZE, and we got Atheist from House of Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see, how big of a network you're building. I mean,
yeah, man.
Most people, especially when they think of Utah, they don't think of rap.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, they think of the Osmonds and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Right.
So, and if we could get them to rap, I mean, that'd be awesome. But
no. I don't know, man. Everybody raps nowadays, so fuck it. Why not?
So, but I mean, especially and not just rap too. I mean, there's always the stigma of the white guy that raps.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, and I think, you know, a lot of people, they hear that and they're just like, oh, okay. And then they hear it, and that's where I think it just kind of, it blows everybody away.
Right.
So I know several different people that, you know, we've both known that when, like, they saw the music video that we did with you, you know, they heard that and they were like, I had no idea that Casey rapped, let alone was really good.
Or I appreciate that. I think that happens a lot, man. I don't know. I'm used to that reaction, I guess. Like, even when I was little, I've always had, like, this really deep voice. And nobody expects that shit. You know what I mean?
I like the picture, because, I mean, I've seen some of your childhood pictures of this little just blonde hair, blue-eyed kid.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine with a deep voice.
It was even more baritone, honestly. Oh, yeah, man.
So just like an old smoker guy, almost.
Pretty much. Yeah, old smoker in this little boy body.
Mama, you packed my lunch.
Yeah.
I like it. What age were you when you, you know, decided that, you know, music, let alone rap, was going to be a career path that you wanted to go down?
Oh, man. Well, firstly, I got into metal in middle school, so I was listening to Slayer, Iced Earth, a lot of underground metal. That's really what I was into. And I guess probably the first time I got into hip-hop, I don't know, man. It was probably before I got into metal, actually. I got that Puff Daddy album.
The Puff Daddy and the Family one?
Yeah. That was my first hip-hop album that I bought. And it's got, like, I'll Be Missing You on it. Damn, what else is on that CD?
I can't even remember. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I'd actually thought of that the other day. Randomly, I saw Puff Daddy's name, or P. Diddy, or whatever the hell he goes by now. Right. I saw it come across something, and I was like, I haven't listened to that album since, like, I don't know, 2001? I remember going to sleep with it in my headphones, because I grew up in a super conservative family, and I was not allowed to have that album. So, but
it's the most conservative hip-hop album.
But I would put any albums I wasn't allowed to have under my mattress. Where most kids were hiding porn, I was hiding music.
Nice.
And that album was one that I know really started to trigger it for me as well.
Right. So it was Puff Daddy, then I went to fucking Metallica, and first hip-hop I got into, because I was never really into rap that much, could never really relate to it. It wasn't angry enough for me. And that's when I heard Jedi Mind Tricks. Violent by Design, that's my favorite album. That really got me into it. It's kind of like a division between hip-hop and metal, almost. It was a good transition for me. And it's super underground. It talks about like fucking mathematics and science and blowing motherfuckers' heads off. Like, it was good, man. Vinny Paz, I love that dude. He's always been one of my major influences. It kind of started from that. It really branched out to like Ill Bill, Necro. Let's see. Dude, pretty much anything underground.
I've always found it interesting with most hip-hop artists, when you'd hear any interviews from them, whether on VH1, when MTV used to do music stuff, any music channel that would play interviews, a lot of hip-hop artists, it's always seems like it is the underground stuff that influences a lot of people before they really get out there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's fascinating that, I mean, that had the same effect on you.
Right.
So now where you had, I mean, metal as an influence as well, when there was the horrible phase of rap metal.
Like Fred Durst.
Yeah, your Limp Bizkits, I mean, was that your scene too?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, God. Yeah, dude. That was...
So, I mean, I can't rag on it too much, because... I mean, I went through that phase too. As Austin and I were heading out to LA last month, I was burning a few things over because Austin's car still is out of date and doesn't have anything for an iPod.
The same old CDs in it.
And so, yeah, so I had to burn mix CDs like I was 12 years old again.
Right.
And as I was doing so, I was making one of the playlists, and randomly I came across Limp Bizkit's first album, $3 Billia. And I was just like, I haven't listened to anything. Billion. Yeah, I haven't listened to anything from that album. Yeah. And so, like, I threw on, like, Counterfeit, Faith, nice. And I didn't tell Austin. I was just like, I'm just going to warn you, this album's got, you know, some random shit. It's just going to kind of go around the clock.
Nice.
And it went from, like, a random, like, that Uptown Funk song was randomly on there. And then, like, the next song was Counterfeit. And Austin's just, what are you...
What is the Uptown Funk song? This? I'm not familiar with that.
Really? The Bruno Mars, Mark Ronson song?
Oh, is that recent?
I think it's number one on the charts right now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I guess I'm pretty...
You are pretty underground.
Out of it. Yeah. I'm out of that loop.
Not that that's always, I mean, as embarrassing as it is that I've got that song and I enjoy that song. At the same time, it's a very teeny bopper song, so it's a...
You embrace it, though.
I embrace it.
I respect
that. I'm not going to shy away. Music's music. You got to like what you like.
Yeah, man. I feel yeah.
So, and I listen to pretty much anything. So now, I mean, you kind of talk about how some of them, like, some of the rap was not angry enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you and I were kind of talking the other day as you were working on this album that, you know, so much rap now is just talking about the girls, their money, their booze. And it's just, it's more or less kind of hacky than what you kind of grew up on.
Yeah, well, I think it's more along the lines of, are you doing music for yourself? Or are you making shit that sells? And going back to, I mean, honestly, it doesn't really matter if people listen to my music, because I'm still going to be doing it.
Right.
I want people to listen to it, because if I can reach out to the right people, that's what's important to me. That's why I try to be truthful in my lyrics and everything else. Yeah, man, I'm doing it for myself. And the musicians out there that are doing it for themselves, as hard as it is to share that music with other people, I'm kind of... kind of selfish about that. I get I'm super stoked for rappers out there like Ritz, who signed to Strange Music. They got a huge following now. Like, I was listening to him when he first brought out White Jesus. Like, not not anybody was listening to it. And I don't know, it's kind of funny, man.
With the lyrics in your album, I mean, you've made it very personal, so there's a lot of things. And I mean, was it almost kind of, as you wrote this album, kind of a healing process in a way?
In a way, yeah. I think, kind of like where I started writing, and yes, this is where it gets a little personal. Like when I was into a lot of drugs, I was really stuck just like on the dark side. Like, I never really had anything that, that I was good at. I never felt like I was good at anything, and I didn't really like have anybody to really say that I was good at anything. But when I was in rehab, that's when I first started to write, and this is like the first time like I really discovered that I was really good at anything. I first started writing poems, and it was just stupid shit. I don't know, like, when I was in rehab, that's when I first started to write. That's when I first started to write, like, get into hip-hop. That's when I first started to really try that, because I read a couple people some of my poetry in there, and they said they liked it a lot, and that's when I first started. That's when I first started to get into hip-hop, recorded my first song on a Jedi Mind Tricks instrumental, in fact, and this was just in my buddy's apartment complex. Did that, recorded it. And I listened to that song so many times. Like, it was so cool to hear that. And that's really when I figured out that that's what I want to do.
And so, as you were going through rehab and you realized, you know, that this was something that was going to, you know, kind of help you change. I mean, how did everybody, even within your rehab group at that point, you know, react? I know you said some people read the poetry and enjoyed it. I mean, as you kind of ventured into the hip hop side of it, how did people initially react to that?
You know, the chicks definitely dug it. They were really into it. It was cool, man. It just goes back to expressing myself. And what I've really learned in recovery is to be truthful and to be honest. Because if you're honest, then people will recognize it. People will relate to it. And I think that if it's really coming from a true part of yourself, then people are going to relate to it. People that heard it liked it because they're all kind of in the same walks of life as me.
So, and that's, I mean, I think that's what a lot of artists even lack today is that they, like you said, you know, are they making music for themselves or are they making music or are they just trying to make music that sells? So, and I think, you know, when they make it more relatable, it's because you've been through something. So you've been through, you know, whether it be good or bad.
Right.
You're able to connect with those people that are on that same page. And I think that, I mean, that's what makes music so impactful. So, and when I had Edward James Olmos on a couple months ago, we were talking about one of the films he had coming out. And he had talked about how, you know, that's why even within film, I mean, you can probably remember music videos even that really had a huge impact on you. Because seeing it and then hearing it, our visual and our audible pulses are, you know, some of the biggest learning tools. Those are what impact people the most. And I think that's great, you know, to look for a way to relate it to everybody. So that helps people, you know, even change. And I mean, plenty of people can say, you know, I heard that song and, you know, it changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that song that gets you, you know what I mean? The song that gives you those goosebumps.
Mbop still does it to me every time.
What is it? Mbop? Yeah. That's a good song. Oh, those kids are so cute.
They are.
Oh my goodness, I understand that. Yeah, man, not only is it, like, the lyrics, like, I've had a few people that have saw my shows are like, I had no idea what the fuck you said, but it was awesome. Because it has to do with, like, you can just tell you're passionate with somebody, with something, when you're actually laying it out. And this crosses into other genres, too. I've opened for some indie artists. I've opened for some metal bands. Those are really some of the best crowds.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Metal's where I came from. I like metal crowds. They're really the nicest people, dude.
So, but yeah, I mean, that shows, I mean, that you're relating to everybody. I mean, to be able to span so many different genres. There's not a lot of people that really can really step out and necessarily try to do that. So they stick within, you know, I'm a rap artist. I only open for rap artists. You know, I'm a punk band. I only play with punk bands.
Right.
So, but I mean, some of the craziest shows I've seen had just a wide variety of bands. I even saw one the other day that was announced that had like Jimmy World, Thrice. Just those two alone are such polar opposites to me.
Right. They'll have all kinds of music festivals. They'll have like, what was that one? It had like Tech N9ne. It had like some indie bands. Like, I think that's funner, honestly. I'll go to hip hop shows. There'll be like 10 acts booked. It's just too much, man. It's all just the same. It's just rap all night. Sometimes it can be way too much.
So I know when I was managing All Red, we had randomly booked a show in St. George. And it was All Red. And then
Bill All Red.
not Bill Allred. We should talk Bill Allred into
doing somewhere. I'd love to see him do music. That'd
but,
be great.
But no, it was Allred, and then the Trademark, who's now the Young Electric, and then a new band from one of the guys from Megadeth.
Oh, word!
So it went from like an acoustic alternative band to a kind of screamo emo band to, I wouldn't even say they were a metal band. I'm not quite sure what they were.
Yeah.
It was a little bit troublesome. They were terrible. Like, we were all stoked heading down. We're like, cool, it's one of the dudes from Megadeth. And we're like, oh, that's...
Where was this at?
In St. George at a... I can't remember what the venue was. St. George's had so many pop-up venues over the years that come and go. I can't even remember what it was. The big one used to always be the Electric Theater, and that one's gone now even.
I've never been to shows in St. George.
Yeah, I don't know where to go to them anymore. And we were down there just a few weeks ago. We were trying to find some type of entertainment and didn't appear to be happening.
Cool, man.
So now, with relating so much with rehab and everything, I mean, some of those lyrics, too, almost kind of seem like a plea to people that, you know, you've been in rehab with. I mean, was that some of what the writing was for, was to try to send a message to those that you had those bonds with?
Yeah, maybe people I know, people I don't know, but we've all been through the same experiences regardless. It's not really a plead, I guess. I think it's more of like, it's more of a dedication and, I don't know, like really what I've learned is I need to pay for like what I've learned. You know, I want that message to get out. I think it's important for people to understand addiction and that it's a really, really widespread pandemic almost. It's in every walk of life. And I don't know, man. And plus, like, it's basically all I know. You know what I mean? And maybe not. It all stems from recovery, like learning wisdom and everything else. But I guess going back to your question, not really, man. You know, honestly, like, I'd like to see everybody make it. I've lost some pretty good people out there, and I know a lot of people have lost some friends and family members, brothers, sisters, and that sucks, man. It's rough, and it's not something that has to happen, you know? And I don't know, man. I guess it's just hard, you know? I just want to show people that it is possible to, I mean, not only overcome some impossible odds of getting clean, but also doing what you love to do. And it sucks seeing people go, like Cade.
Yeah.
Like I dedicated this CD to Zach Larson. He's my buddy. He died back in 2010. That was a really big loss. But I guess my main function is in terms of paying it forward is just spreading the message, you know.
That's great. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned Cade, and it's like sometimes they're friends that you know you've seen kind of go through things, and it's like I'd known Cade. You know, probably since third grade. He was actually when my family first moved to South Jordan.
Right.
He was one of the first kids I ever met.
Right.
It's not like we were super, super tight or anything throughout the years, but we were always friends, you know, all through high school.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I'd played a little teeny bit of football with Cade, and I mean, he was always just such a happy person. My brothers even got to know him as the years went by. And
ooh, the chicks dug him too, man. For real. What's funny is I was in rehab with him. That's when I first started writing. Kind of a funny coincidence. Yeah. But yeah, man. It's shitty.
It yeah, and he was a great person. And it's sad to see, you know, when people can't overcome that addiction that, you know, when you lose people that are just great people if they're gone too soon.
Right.
So what would you say, I mean, when you see that happen, what would you say is kind of the hardest part of being able to overcome that addiction?
You can't really put it in terms of, like, I know parents wish, like, want to know if there's a certain formula to follow to save their kid, but there isn't.
Right.
There's no set way, man. I don't know. Some people get it, some people don't. I don't know, like, why I made it and somebody else didn't. I don't know, man. Something just switched in my head. Like the stars were aligned right somehow, you know.
So where do you think you'd be today, you know, if they hadn't aligned right?
Probably dead, honestly, or in jail. Maybe a psych ward. I don't know, man. But, you know, it's rough. But at the same time, like, I want to help people out that are newer because it reminds me of where I'm at. It keeps me going. And, in helping other people out and them paying it forward, I mean, it kind of perpetuates, and like that's what we're about in the anonymous community, is helping each other out. Like we try to be selfless
within the community, within rehab, and those that you know are in recovery. And I mean, have you had an opportunity through music to reach out to some of those, you know, even some of those programs that you went through to try and share your message through those programs at all?
Man, I'm not sure. If it did happen, I don't know about it, you know, and that's okay. I've done some talent shows for some conventions, and I think people like it. I think people are receptive to it. You know, hopefully as I get Old Soul out, maybe that'll start reaching some people. But I do know that, I mean, just giving this album to some people for a preview, a lot of people like it. And I think that's the cool thing, you know what I mean? It's that someone actually takes the time to listen to it, even if they're not in recovery.
Like I was saying at the beginning, you know, it's an absolutely solid album. So I know how hard you've worked on it to make it something that's personal to you and that you can truly be proud of. And I mean, I think you've definitely accomplished that. I mean, it's a from the first song all the way down to the last song of Learned Truth that we did the video for.
Yeah.
I mean, every bit of it, I mean, just keeps you deep in the music. So every bit of it, I kept looking to see, oh, this is another one of those features. Who else is this that's on this? Because, I mean, you collaborated with the right people that I think drive each song.
Yeah, it was solid, man. And I reached out to a lot of artists. Like, they're, like, maybe I shouldn't call it, but my shit is, like, so fucking emo. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's more emotional, I think. But regardless, like, I'm getting artists and I'm having them do more, like, heartfelt songs. Like, I want to hear that side of these artists. Like, Atheist, yeah. He's usually doing some goofy shit, wearing fucking, like, wrestling masks and rapping about, like, some gnarly beats and fucking partying in the avenues and shit like that. Or fucking Donnie Benelli talking about Shake Face. I like getting... I like that I got that side. And those features are so solid. I'm super, super stoked about it.
I mean, I really haven't got to know much of Atheist or Donnie. But I mean, Chance that they all perform with. I remember when Chance was doing... Abby Normal.
Yeah.
And I mean he even had just goofy songs with that. I will never forget his Harry Potter song that every time he would play the damn thing.
I haven't heard that one.
You'll have to ask him if he has it recorded somewhere. I'm sure he does.
Alright.
That song just killed me every damn time. I can't remember what the full name it was, but it was a Harry Potter song.
Do you know a part of the song?
I can't. It's been years since I've heard the song.
Right, I'll check it out.
But I remember every time I'd hear them play, it made my day when he'd play his Harry Potter song.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta get some goofy songs, man. I'm not trying to depress people every fucking night that I play.
And I mean, when you say it's emo, I mean, it's not depressing emo. It's not. No. It's not the emo music of the mid-2000s.
No, no.
So where it was slit your wrist, cry, and put on some eyeliner.
I'm not talking about putting on makeup or cutting my wrist, and that's
yeah. What, it's motivational. It's inspirational.
Yeah, it's talking about It's talking about real subjects, and I think, I don't know if you agree, but I think that there are a lot of parts that are inspiring about it. I don't know. I don't like to gloat about my shit,
I think it's funny to tell you how good it is because of how uncomfortable even other people telling you how good it is makes you. So
right.
Because you don't like that light being shed on it, but I mean, it truly is good. So it should be something that you're proud of, knowing that it inspires people.
I appreciate that, man.
So, but I always do love watching you squirm whenever anybody tells you that, because you're not comfortable with it.
I'm just like, thanks. Yeah, man. I don't know why. Like, I like the compliments too, which is ironic. Like, I don't know. Like, I like when people talk about me.
Who doesn't?
Really strokes my ego. But at the same time, like, it's so funny. I'm such a harsh critic about all of it. Like, as soon as I got this back, Chance gave me a final copy. I listened to him, like, I'm not releasing this shit. Like, after after all this money and time and everything else that I put in, I'm like, this is too personal. You know what I mean? Like, and it's the worst. Like, when the director of our department at work hears it, like, oh my god, like, it crosses over into other lines of my life.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Like, I think that's important as an artist to do, is to talk about things that maybe are tough to share. It's personal.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and I mean, even when it's crossing over those lines, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I've had people come up to me randomly and they're like, hey, I saw that video you did. I'm like, what are you talking about? I made a lot of them. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, no, the one you did for Casey. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
So, but then I've had people that, you know, watch a lot of stuff that we put out, and they'll come up and be like, hey, I saw that music video. I had no idea Casey rap.
Right.
And so it's cool to kind of see those two where it is those lines that you don't expect to cross.
Yeah.
Cross, and I mean, it's cool to see people you don't expect to think they would like it.
Yeah.
Like it. And I mean, even when we got the, when your video was nominated for a, for one of the online film awards for best music video, we completely expected that we weren't getting it because the audience for it was primarily very, very conservative.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, this song is it's a little harsh. And
yeah.
It's not their typical clean-cut lyrics.
No.
And so when it got nominated, we're like, all right, well, that that tells us something. You know, the song is powerful, and even the some of the other artists that were at the Film Awards came up to us and were just like they wanted to know more about you.
Nice.
So because they were impressed, they had never really seen anything like it. Again, being in Utah, where it's not the norm.
Right. Well, that's cool, man. That's good to hear. I'm not trying to do the same, like, make fun of Mormon rap.
is that a thing?
I think it is, yeah. There's a... Oh, God. Yeah, there's a couple. They just rap about Utah stereotypes. Gotta get out of that. You know what I mean? Gotta get Utah out of that shit.
Well, I mean, if you keep it... I mean, unless you're, you know, talking about a place like Los Angeles or New York City or Miami, you know, major hubs that everybody's been to, you know, you're not going to get an audience to relate.
Right.
So, and I mean, even then, I mean, people won't necessarily catch a reference even when they're, you know, talking about a major place like Los Angeles or New York.
Right.
Yeah. Other than Utah, nobody's going to understand those lyrics people are talking about.
Right.
Salt Lake City, you're going to catch that little tiny group. And
yeah, and hopefully they can look past my retarded Utah accent. We'll see. you know what I mean?
So, and I wouldn't even say you have a Utah accent. Doing it. Austin and I, as we were kind of going over this new film that we're working on right now, I was showing him some of the album today. And he was talking about, you know, just how unique your voice actually is to it.
Right.
So, and it's not catching it, you know, with any type of Utah accent. You just have a very unique style to your voice when you're performing. And that's I think, the one thing that people are definitely going to gravitate to.
Nice. Yeah, I hope so, man.
So now, you named the album Old Soul. Where did that come from?
Oh, yeah, man, I don't know. I've been told a lot that I've got an old soul, and, you know, I see that in the eyes of a lot of people, like, meetings I go to. I think your experiences kind of shape you, and, like, if you go through a lot, then it really changes you. It makes you a very wise person, and those are the people that I relate to.
Yeah, you gotta have to be able to have experiences. You can't just, you know, turn on autopilot and go through life, or you experience nothing.
Right. Yeah. I think I've got some old parts of me. I look young as fuck. I've got a baby face. I'm still kind of young at heart. I don't know. I'm 27 years old. I don't feel that old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, the emotions that I feel, and, like, when I think about, like, all the places I've been and, like, what I've overcome to get where I'm at, because, don't get it twisted, it is hard, you know? Thinking about all those things, like, I think I've really gained a lot of wisdom from that. And, you know, I think it's more along the lines of other people telling me that I'm that, you know what I mean?
So, I definitely know what you mean, too, you know, where you have to find that spot to recognize who you are, and when you hit rock bottom, and, you know, you've got to dig yourself back up, and it's good to recognize who you are, and
right,
and understand, you know, your inner self. I mean, if you are that old soul.
Yeah, bro.
So, I mean, what does this, you know, album really mean to you at this stage? So, in the little over a year that I've known you, I know you've been working on this album just nonstop, just writing and just so focused on it. What does it mean to you to finally see, you know, everything come full circle at this point?
To be honest, I'm pretty sick of the songs at this point. But what does it mean? 2013 is when I finished my first little mixtape. I did like 10 songs on that, and that's really what got me established in the scene. I had a New Year's resolution for 2014 to get this album done. Obviously I didn't achieve that, but you know, it's taken a long time. But it's cool to get things done, man. It's cool to actually accomplish things. Just recently I finished reading my first book cover to cover. I'm experiencing all these things that I didn't really have a chance to. And I'm learning how to establish goals and work hard and achieving things. And the more that like I achieve things, the more I feel like I can do more. And just being able to get this thing done. And it is so hard to do. It's so hard to come up with the money. It's hard to take time to write, like on top of every other life stressor out there. It's a good feeling of accomplishment. I wish I had more to add to the CD. I wish I had more time, but if I did that, this album would never be released. Like, I gotta release it at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can only polish it so much before
you just have to let it go. You have to release it.
So and sometimes, I mean, that's where the overproducing and stuff ends up happening. So I know when we were actually editing Beyond the Shadows, the final edit was basically done. And we were like, oh, you know, maybe we should move this shot of the clock over to this spot and maybe it'll flow better. And then we fucked the entire thing up.
Sounds about right.
and had to go all the way back almost to square one to an earlier version that we had saved and start fixing everything.
Oh, man.
From there.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Because, yeah, you get into that stage of just being a perfectionist where, you know.
You just wreck it after that. I understand that, dude. Like, I'll even be listening to this and the CD and I'll be like, oh, I wish I changed the lyric to this instead.
Yeah.
Or, like, I say a word really weird and I'm like, damn it, it's too late, you know? But that's okay. That's all right.
So, and those are always going to be there. So, I mean, I don't think there's a musician out there that you'll hear, you know, that won't be sick of playing a certain song live or, but at the same time, I mean, that's what the fans want. That's right. You know, why they're paying to hear it.
Right. Yeah, don't get me wrong, man. I love doing those songs live, and I love it when people hear it and it's brand new to them, you know?
Yeah, and there's... I can't remember which band it was that they were asked about playing one of their hits, and they'd been together 20 years. There's like, if I could go the rest of my life without ever playing that song again, I'd be happy.
I'm sure,
but man. I have to still play that every damn night for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's all part of the gig.
So with this album, you know, coming out next week, what do you see for the future now?
Dude, as of right now, I'm meeting new people and as I'm doing shows, I'm actually putting on a couple shows this summer. I started associated with Sir Smooth Entertainment. We do all kinds of shows. It seems like every time I go into a show or do something else, I meet somebody new and that branches off into other options. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know where it's going to take me. I've got major goals. I want to go on tour and I want to play in front of huge crowds and I want to open up for my heroes and you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Like, it's not really, I don't really have any high expectations, but I've got pretty high aspirations. And we'll see where it takes me. I don't know, man.
Who would be the dream opening act to open up for at this point?
Dude, probably Vinny Paz. Even him, like, it's not like he opens up for arenas.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd just be cool to share the stage with those heroes. Like, I know that, like, Tech N9ne comes to town, he gets openers all the time. But at the same time, dude, I want my own fan base. That's really the thing. Like, that's really where I thrive. And when the energy's right in the crowd and, you know, that boosts me up, that's what makes it all worth it. That's what I want. I want that feeling. You know what I mean? So however I get that, cause I'm always chasing things that make me feel good. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm an ex-junkie, dude. Still like what makes me feel good.
So, yeah. You have to chase the next high. That's the better high.
Right.
So now one thing I kind of want to touch back on real quick is you mentioned finishing your first book cover to cover.
Yeah.
So which book?
It was Lone Survivor, Marcus Luttrell.
Nice. The one that they made the Mark Wahlberg movie out of, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a really good book, man. It's about not quitting. Oh, dude, it's a sad book. It's so cool, though. It's so cool that somebody's got... like such hard dedication, like the Navy SEALs. Holy yeah. shit. You know what I mean? And just that story of like losing your friends and falling off fucking mountains fighting the enemy. Like, I don't know, man.
I know it's something I couldn't do. I mean,
no, fuck no.
You give me 4 flights of stairs and I'm like, there's an elevator in this building, right? Like,
right, exactly.
Why would I walk upstairs?
Yeah.
So let alone, the stuff that Navy SEALs do, I don't. I mean, it really is putting yourself into a whole different mindset.
Yeah, those guys are different, man.
So and I'm borderline, you know, a cow when it comes to that. It's when do I sleep next and when do I eat next?
Nice. Teach his own, you know what I mean?
So, well, I'm glad to learn a little bit more about this. I mean, I've known the little bits and pieces of it, but you know, I haven't known so much of, you know, kind of where it came from within rehab and things like that. I'm at this point too. I mean, how excited is your family for it? I know you've been posting pictures of your mom with your mom and stuff at some of the
right
some of the places. I mean, how excited is your family to?
They're just happy that I'm doing anything. You know what I mean? No, man. No, I got the support of my family. It's cool. As long as I'm doing the right things, you know, I'm fortunate to have my family. They've got, they're my foundation. They've been through a lot with me. They never gave up on me. I don't think they really had a choice, though.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of screwed that over by making me. What's that, unconditional love? Yeah, man, it's cool. My mom and dad will come to shows sometimes. My brothers are there. Yeah, man, it's cool. They got my support 100%.
Yeah, we even had your little brother in the Learn Truth video.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was pretty cool to be able to...
Yeah. Who did he play
to
again?
To put him in there. He was one of the...
He's like Hank or something.
I can't remember what name we gave him.
I feel closed in. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, as the album releases on April 10th, where can people find it?
You want to check it out on... Clawson.bandcamp.com. That's CLAWSON.bandcamp. It'll be on Facebook. You can check me out there. Facebook.com/801Clawson. There's SoundCloud.com/801Clawson. I'm on a bunch of websites. I'm on that Reverb Nation. Best place though is Bandcamp. Or hit me up. Come to my show April 10th. It's at Five Monkeys. It's a free show. Free show. You have no excuse.
No matter how many times you pump people with free show, they somehow find an excuse. I've never understood it.
Right.
So now, what about iTunes? How soon can we see it on iTunes?
We'll see about that, man. I'm actually, I think I'll get that released on that as well.
So we'll help you with that. We'll make sure it's up there.
All right, word.
We'll spread it to the masses.
All right, that sounds good. Appreciate that.
Cool. And where's the show at again?
Five Monkeys,
that's right.
4500 South and 7 East.
Perfect. So cool. Well, we'll get as many people out there as we can. So
cool, man. Appreciate your time.
So cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in today. So, and yeah, we look forward to the show.
All right. Cool. Thanks for the awkward interview.
that was a knuckle bump for the audible audience there.
Handshake.